Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God wants our giving to be a secret we keep with Him. After all, God, not the IRS, keeps the ultimate books. It's one thing to give when others can see your generosity. Today, we'll examine our motives for giving when no one's watching. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series on sharing secrets with God, Erwin Lutzer is speaking on secret giving. He finds some wisdom for us in the words of Martin Luther.
I think that Martin Luther was right when he said that everybody needs three conversions: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the pocketbook. And it may well be that the last conversion is the most difficult. Let me ask you, why did Jesus say, "Woe to those who are rich, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven"? Why did Jesus say that? It's because money has all the characteristics of deity, all the characteristics of God. Richard Foster says it gives us security, it can induce guilt, it gives us freedom, it gives us power, and seems to be omnipresent. But most sinister of all is its bid for omnipotence. It wants to be all-powerful, and it can be all-consuming. And the reason that when we talk about money, the reason it is so sensitive, well, you've had a sore on your arm. Maybe you were lacerated and blood flowed, and now that part of your arm is so tender. And when somebody comes and begins to poke around it, it really hurts. And you say, "No, no." I want you to know today that whenever we talk about money, we begin to touch our idolatrous heart. We begin to touch that heart. And we don't like it because it's painful and it reveals who we are. And we come to a message like this filled with a whole set of rationales and a whole reasons. And these are deeply ingrained and not easily unsettled. Now for the text itself. What was happening in those days? Well, the Pharisees were misusing money. They were misusing it and doing a good thing with it. They were giving it to charity. But in the process, they were hypocrites, and the Greek word hypocrite means actor. They were play acting. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward of your Father who is in heaven, says Jesus. I want you to know that in those days, giving to charity was a big thing. There was a quote from the rabbis which even says, "He who gives to the poor does better than he who offers a sacrifice." And the Hebrew word righteousness, tzedek, that Hebrew word is actually the word for the giving of alms. So in ancient times, a mother may have said to her son who came from the synagogue, "Did you do your righteousness today?" And what she meant was, "Have you given your gift today?" Very important thing. And Jesus commends the fact that people give, because that's what we should be doing. But here you have people who are using a very legitimate and necessary good act, and they are doing it for wrong reasons, and they are doing even that to serve themselves. He says, when you give, do not announce it with trumpets. Now, you may visualize somebody standing on a street corner and blowing a trumpet and saying, "Everybody watch, I'm giving now." And you know as soon as the trumpet blows that it's time for an offering. It could well be that Jesus is referring to a custom that the Jewish scholar Edersheim refers to, that in the temple area there was a cylinder. It was like a pipe. And people came and they put their money in, and the money would go around this cylinder and would eventually come into a pot, into a pail that was there in the temple. And some of the people would stand there giving their coins like this, one at a time, making sure that those who were behind them saw how much they gave, and they were blowing the trumpet. And Jesus said, when you do that, don't don't give that way, but give in secret. In the process, Christ gives three very important principles about giving. And what might they be? Number one, you give with the right motive. Now, there are three possible motives that people can have in giving. One is a sense of duty. I give because I have to. It is expected of me. People will not think well of me. I'm giving because I'm kind of trapped. I have to give. Have you ever been at a banquet where after the food has been eaten, an offering is taken, and they say, now we're going to take an offering, and the offering basket is passed, and you want to be very sure that you give something you hadn't planned to give, but there's an elder who's sitting next to you. And heaven help him if he doesn't give anything, but you're just a regular church member, but you need to give you know that story of an usher who went by a very, very well-dressed woman, and she didn't put anything into the offering plate, and he held it right before her, and she wouldn't put anything in, and she said, I don't give. And he said, well, then take some out, because it's for the heathen anyway, he said. And you don't want to be feeling like a heathen, and so you reluctantly give. Now, that is giving out of a sense of duty. How do you know whether you're giving a sense out of a sense of duty? How do you know whether this morning you gave out of a sense of duty? I'll tell you. When you give out of a sense of duty, you give the gift, but you don't give your heart. You don't give your heart. You reserve your heart for yourself, but you say, here's the gift. That's a sense of duty. There's a second motivation, and that can be prestige, which is exactly what the Pharisees were doing. You give in such a way hoping that it will come back to you. You hope that there are other people who will see what you are giving, and because you have given to them, you have certain expectations. Number one, you're thought of as a generous person, and that's worth something to you. And number two, you actually give in a way that you hope you will receive back because you've given. As a matter of fact, did you know that there are certain religions and cultures, and some of you are familiar with who those are, what those are, in which there are intricate social theories of obligation, where you do something good for someone, but it is completely understood, even though no words are said, that the intention is that they in turn owe you something, and you expect that in return, and woe to them if they don't give that to you. Whatever it may be, whether it's hospitality or a gift or whatever, that there's a very intricate network of obligation. Now, the Pharisees, you see, were not necessarily expecting that people would give back to them, but they were thinking that people would watch them give and say, I just can't believe how spiritual that person is. Look at how generous he might be, even though he has a very, very sour face, but look at how generous he is. That's what they were hoping people would say. There's a third motivation, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. Were you give because you love to give? Your wallet has been converted. You've given yourself to God, and you've said, God, I've given you my heart, and therefore I can give not only my money. When I give my money, I'm also giving my heart. Samuel Johnson was a very generous person, and he always had people living in his house who were poor. And somebody said, why do you put up with all of these poor people? And he simply answered, if I didn't help them, no one else would. And they cannot, he says, they cannot be rejected or lost simply because they are needy. In other words, you give because you want to give and because there's the motivation to give and you don't care whether or not anybody knows about it. You just give because giving becomes a part of your nature. It's a part of who you are. It's like a mother. My wife Rebecca didn't say, well, now, you know, I got up at night to take care of the children and I want everybody to know that I got up and took care of the babies. No, that isn't the important thing. The need is there. The love is there. The commitment is there. And so you do it because you love to do it. And the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. He loves those who give joyfully, who maybe even give more than they should, because it is not merely their mind that has been converted, but their heart has been converted and their pocketbook has been converted. And all that they have is God's, and so they enjoy giving. They enjoy it. Now you say, well, if you don't have the right motivation, what do you do? How do you get that? That's not natural. That's not natural. That doesn't come just because you go to a good church or because you read the Bible or because you listen to a wonderful choir. That does not come. No. This monster called greed and selfishness is so much a part of who we are that being generous is not usually something that comes very, very easily. Unless there's some return. Unless there's some prestige that's going to be involved. If you're a billionaire and you want to give $1 billion, you call a news conference and announce it to the world. That's different. But we're talking about secret giving. How do you do it? Well, what you do is you deal with it as you deal with other sins. You repent as thoroughly as the Holy Spirit enables you to, and you spend as much time in God's presence as you have to until that monster is subdued, until he's subdued. And you deal with the rationalizations. People say, well, you know, if I had more money, I'd give more. Nonsense. If you are a bad steward with a little money, Jesus taught you're going to be a bad steward with a lot of money. It does not have to do with the amount, because we're talking about proportionate giving. And so what you need to do is to deal with that rationalization. Or the idea is we'll begin to give when we get out of debt. Now that's a real good one, isn't it? And you know, of course, as Rebecca and I have had to learn, and as young couples always learn, that debt, devil, and dirt, they're all related. I'm not sure exactly the connection, but I know that it's there.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and yes, it is true, isn't it, that debt is a tremendous curse. And if you find yourself in that position today, I hope that you go to a counselor who is able to help you. But even while that is happening, I think you should still be giving to the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't give as much, of course. But to keep reminding yourself that all that you have is God's, and the best way for us to remind ourselves of that is to be generous in our giving. So don't buy into the myth that giving is just for the rich. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that the people of Macedonia gave out of deep poverty. I've often contemplated that phrase and realized how committed these people were. But here they were, excited about Jesus Christ and their relationship with him, and their poverty did not stop them from giving. You say, but Pastor Lutzer, I object to the way in which the church is using my money. Well, if you use that criterion, then of course you'll never give, because you can always find something wrong with the way in which money is used. Just get out there, give, be generous, and honor our Lord.
Erwin Lutzer with more insights on secret giving, part of a series on sharing secrets with God. Next time, we look at the right method for giving. There's something we'd like to share with you, and it's no secret. This 4-part series on sharing secrets with God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.